filmu Passion Spamitva.
About 850 years ago, in the year Tov Kuf Lamed Gimel, otherwise known as 1173, there was a big turmoil, a big balagan in the country called Yemen, known to us Yidden as Tamar. What happened there was already a bit of a history that the Muslims there were getting very powerful and they were trying to be mechazek their religion, at least some of the leaders there. And they were going around and persuading people and strengthening their belief. And eventually they started causing trouble for the Eden also. And they started making kikuchim with the Eden and redifas to the Eden. And it went from bad to worse. One of the tactics was they went up to Eden and they asked him, what do you think of our prophet? And if the Eid says, well, I think he's a gunish mitnish, a shakrin, then they would kill him. And if the Eid says, besides, he's a novi emes, then they would force him to shmat, to follow their religion. So the Eden started answering, chasish, who am I to answer? It's too hard for me, this question. But it went from bad to worse, and there was a lot of redifis, and eventually attacked a lot of Eden. Wormish Tamid at that time did turn to the Muslim religion. And then in that year, 1173, to make things worse, someone got up, a Yid got up, and he said he is Mashiach. One of the earlier Mashiach HaShekel. And he was a Yid who did a lot of Maaseh Chesed, Maaseh Gemilas Chasodim, Abis LaParush, Nishgivin Katam et Chochem, we see from those who describe the history then. And people were very confused. Is he Mashiach? Is he not? What do we do? Where do we go? How do we get out of the Redivis altogether? And Rabbanim at that time, the god of Yemen, I forgot his name, but they bring down his name, wrote a letter to the Rambam. The Rambam at that time was the god Lador, and even though the Rambam was away, far away in Egypt, in Mitzrayim, but he kept track of what was going on in Yiddish Kehillahs all around the world, and he knew what was going on there in Tamar. So they sent him a letter. What to do? Help us out of this. Guide us. And the Rambam wrote back a letter which became very known as Igeres Tamar. Igeres Tamar, which is printed today, it's a letter one can learn, it's a very geschmackige letter, not hard to go through. A lot of the details of the history come from the Rambam himself. And Rambam day is mechazik them, is the agav, he tells them to deal with this Mashiach Sheker, he says that Volta given amazed, if he would have been amazed, he would have been Misa. But Mistamez Ashoyte, so I advise you, says the Rambam, lock him up for a few days, be mefalsem as is Ashoyte, as is a Chosedas. And then when you let him out, people won't believe him anymore. And the Rambam finishes off, and this is Mamish like looking into the future, what happened in Shabbat 3 years later. He says, if you don't do that, not only will you have trouble with the Eden, you might chalila v'chas have trouble with the Goyim, because the Goyim will start thinking you're revolting at them, and you'll have big trouble from the Goyim. So that's why I listen to my advice and do that. The Taka did that, and they got rid of him. They did that. Rambam goes there on. A lot of the famous things which Rambam writes about different religions comes from there. He calls them a sugar, he calls it a... Anyway, famous thing letter there. But Anigal in Yoneinu is that most of the letters devoted, the Rambam is mechazik, the Yehudei, the Eden from Tamar, he's mechazik them in Emunah. And in fact, until today, the Tamar Eden considered the Rambam their god. As far as I know, they followed Rambam more than the Shekhnoch. We follow the Shekhnoch Remor. As far as the Ashkenazim, Shekhnoch Remor. The Tamar is... do something else altogether, they follow the Rambam.
It's a Sfaradi.
Tamish is a Tzanish. It's
a Sfaradi.
Yeah, it's a time of Sfaradi. Okay. But they follow the Rambam. They consider the Rambam their savior. Consider the Rambam saved them in Yiddishkeit. If not for him, they would have had who knows what. So they consider him, he saved them, and they follow his tzukim until today. Now, the Rambam there is Mechazik de Memunah, and he said, if you would have been strong and powerful in your Emunah, you would not have come to such questions in the first place. You wouldn't have been so challenged by those redifers, and you wouldn't have been so caught up by this Mashiach Sheker, who doesn't learn, and he's Mechazik them very much in Emunah, he goes on and on. And one of the things he writes there quite in length is that if you want to strengthen your Emunah, one of the ways is by describing and visualizing Ma'amad Har Sinai. And he writes about it very powerfully, and he says, Zichru Ma'amad Har Sinai, remember this Ma'amad Har Sinai, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes in the Torah, you should remember it. There's a post from Parashat Dvorim, Sefer Dvorim, Rak Yishom Alecho Shmo Nafshecha Ma'oid, guard yourself and be careful, Pentishkach Es HaDvorim Asher Ro Anecho, you shouldn't forget what you saw, Ve'idatem Levonecho Ve'lonecho tell your children, Yoyim Asher Amadato Lefnei Hashem Alekecho Bachorev, the day you stood by Har Sinai. And the Rambam carries on, and those are his words. And he says, my brothers, you should. Bring up your children. al dimui hamare hagodl hahu, visualizing this great event, v'tesapru, and speak about it, b'chol kibbutz, by every gathering, gedulosoi, ukvoidoi, about the godliness and the honor, the greatness, the amazingness of Mamad Harsinai, shehu koitev hadas. It's famish important point of Yiddishkeit, v'hatana hamevile de emes, and it brings to the emes, v'hadilu hagdole atzumo. Make it big, speak about it in a powerful way. And he goes on and on about this, to describe, visualize, and speak to the children, to oneself, about Mamad Harsinai. And he says that is one of the big ways how to be that's what Rambam writes. In fact, there's a Ramban also, the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvahs. After the Ramban mentions all the mitzvahs, there's a few pages from Ramban, with a Nun, who asks some kashas on the Ramban, and he says, you forgot a few. And he adds a few mitzvahs. And one of the mitzvahs, the second love, there is, says the Ramban, why did you not mention, he asks on the Rambam, why did you not mention that talking about Mamad Harsinai is also a mitzvah? Zechiras Mamad Harsinai. Now, in the Igeres Tema on the Rambam, Taki considers it very important. The question here is whether it's actually one of the 613 mitzvahs or not. And the Rambam says it's more than important. It's literally a mitzvah of the Torah, which we Taki learn from that pasuk in Sefer Torah. The Rambam of Pashas Yisro talks about it, also the Rambam, that it's important, it's mechazik in Emunah. But it's literally, it's written in that pasuk. V'idatam levenecha levenecha, yema shermadita levenecha shem elkecha b'chorev, v'ezbeneim yelameidun, you should teach your children. So we find this is an important thing to describe and visualize, talk about the Mamad Harsinai. Pasha discussing what went on there to make it into a great event. The embassy is every day in Birkas HaTorah, when we say HaShavoch HaBonu Mikol HaAmim, says the tool, one should have in mind, Mamad HaSinah, HaShavoch HaBonu Mikol HaAmim, nothing on the Torah. So when is this Boch HaBonu Mikol HaAmim? Says the tool, when you say those words, think about Mamad HaSinah. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us. In Ahava Rabo, according to the Ari HaKadosh, when one says the words, V'Kiravtonu Malkeinu, V'Kiravtonu L'Shimcha HaGadoy, one should have in mind Mamad HaSinah. The Ari HaKadosh fits all the shifts, the six Zechiris into Birkas Kirishma, and this is where Mamad HaSinai fits in. V'kiravtonu l'shimcha hagadol, you chose us, you brought us close. One should remember the Mamad HaSinai. So, as much as time allows us, as Hashem will try to do that, to basically describe and discuss Mamad HaSinai, starting from the basics, from the psukim and the Rashi. Is very interesting. We all know the psukim and the Rashis, but when you put it all together as a story, and you put it all together as an event, it gets a bit of a bit different surah. And from there, as much as we have time, we'll go into the Chazal and to the Medrashim and a bit deeper explanations and reasons, meanings, what happened, what was behind a lot of the things that happened on the day of Kabbalah Satir. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. We know Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Klal Yisrael came to Har Sinai, and they came already in a high level. They came with tshuva. Chazal learned from Yisum Erefidim, they left off the Rifion Yadam, they left off the weakness, they strengthened themselves, and they came Ke'isha Echad, Lev Echad, Vayichan Shom Yisrael, the Pasuk says, they all were like one. That's how it really started. Now, the next few days, from Rosh Chodesh onwards, Moshe Rabbeinu was going up and down to Shemayim and bringing down important messages. One of the very important messages he brought down was the Hagdamah to Matan Torah, Kesemel of Esyakev, Esak Levnei Yisrael, and he tells him the tremendous chashivas which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to Klal Yisrael, Atam Tiyuli, Amleches Kehanim, V'Goy Kodesh, very important psukim, which as much as they are mechayev, they also compliment the praise to Klal Yisrael, a bit of both. And that was all before Matan Torah. Let's go straight to Vav Sivan, the Kul Almi was on Shabbos the Torah was given. Let's go to that day. And again, we'll start from the basics, and then we'll go deeper. On the morning of Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael woke up a little bit late. We know that. Instincts, a lot to talk about at all, but let's not go into that now. Why they woke up late? It was early in the day. The Medrash says, Kipshutai, says the Pirkei Avos was pushed early. It's summertime now, morning is very early. So the Medrash was there before them. The Medrash says, that's why you stay up at night, to be mechaper on that sleeping. One of the ideas of staying up at night is to rectify that sleeping. But okay. They woke up in the morning and they woke up to tremendous noises. The prophet says it was coldness. There was broken, there was lightning, and there was a big noise of the shofar. The prophet doesn't say what the noises were. There was coldness and shofar. The noises, according to Talmud Yonis and the Midrash, was thunder. There was lighting, and there was a shofar chazak ma'oid. Now, if we would say chazak ma'oid, you would say, no, maybe it was a bit of a shofar. But the prophet doesn't exaggerate. And the prophet says it was a cold shofar chazak Ma'oit, very loud, shofar, Exalusel woke up from that, and they got very scared. The Pasuk says, Vayechat, Kolom, they were trembling, they were very scared, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to encourage them, had to be mechazik them to come towards the Har Sinai. The Pasuk says, Vayotze Moshe Esom, Likas, and they came, Moshe Rabbeinu had to lead them and encourage them. They were trembling from fright already, from just these noises and the shofar and the lightning and thunder. As they came closer to Har Sinai, the Rebbeinu Shalom, the Shechina comes towards them. As Rashi tells us, Kichosen, Hayoitze, Likas, Hakale, the Rebbeinu Shalom came towards Klal Yisrael, and then Klal Yisrael come to the mountain, and they stand in their position by the mountain. At that moment is the famous Gemara of Avodah Zarah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to all the other nations, and he asked them if they want the Torah, and they refused. We'll come back to that later, what exactly went on here, what did he offer them. But there's a lot to talk. That's when the other nations. And then again comes another famous Chazal. The Pasuk says, "Vayisyatzvu tachas tachtis hohor." Tachtis, kibshute, means at the bottom of the mountain, but literally tachtis means under the mountain. What does that mean? Under the mountain. So Chazal learned from here that Kadosh Baruch Hu picked up the mountain and he told Klal Yisrael, if you do not accept the Torah, then the mountain comes down. Kofa aleihem har kegiges, the mountain was put on top of them, they were forced. And the question for that on that is, they just said, Na'aseh v'nishma, not long ago, could have been a day or two ago, according to the Pesukim, but not long ago, what's this, why did I have to be forced? They just said, Na'aseh v'nishma, the Rishonim, the Rishonim, they talk about this. One of the basic terutzim the Maharal says is that you need both. You need both. If a person would just keep the Torah because he accepted it willingly, and one morning he might wake up and say, today is hard for me, I don't want to do it. At the end of the day, I accepted it, so I got the power to say no. If it's only mikach ahava, mikach the own rotzen, then there's a danger a person can one day say, today I don't want. So the Roshan showed them, indeed, you did a great thing by accepting it, but you should know you have to accept it, because if not for Torah, there is no life. Shom take for us, and of course, we say means not only the mountain will bury you, the not accepting the Torah will bury you. That alone is death, not life. Without the Torah, it's not a fulfilling life, it's not an eternal life, not a pleasant life. So that is the Shom take for us. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, on one hand, you accept it willingly, that's a good thing, because just yira is also not good. If you're just forced to do it, it doesn't go well. You need both. You need the willingness and to know that you have to accept it. Okay. Then Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain for the last time before Matan Torah, and he came down again to warn them one last time not to go up the mountain, not to go further than where they're meant to go. There's an important point there. Also, the Balamuses say that every person has to know his place. Person has to know his tafkid in this world, his place, not to go out of his place, not further, not lower.
But that doesn't happen there, that happened before.
Yeah, the last one, it was then again. The Pasuk says, last time again, it's getting pulled. The Pasuk once again. Before, just as after the council was already there, it was once more, and then everybody took his position. Moshe went the highest, the Haran went a bit lower, the Kahana, which means the Bechorim at that time, went a bit lower, and the Klal Yisrael was around the mountain. Pirkei Avos says clearly, the Anoshim on one side, the Noshim, the women, on another side. But not only were Klal Yisrael there, Klal Yisrael at that time 2 to 3 million people, not only were Klal Yisrael there, all the future Neshamas, every single Neshama, which is going to be from then until Mashiach comes and further, was there. The Pasuk in Nitzavim says, "Es asher yeshnoi poi, es asher enenu poi, imanu ayoyim." And the Pasuk will say, how can you make an agreement? There's an agreement made, a bris, between Klal Yisrael and the Eden, even though they're not there. How can you make an agreement if someone's not there? How does that work? So the Pasuk will say, because the Neshamas were there. The agreement was made either with those who were there, the Guf, or those who were there with the Neshamas, but every single Neshama, all of us were there, by Muhammad HaSinai. And then amazing things started to happen. Besides for the noises, the thunder, besides for the lightning, besides for the shofar chazak ma'oid, now the Pasuk has a new lashon. The Pasuk uses the words, Vayi kol ha-shofar hoylech v'chazak ma'oid. And again, if we would say it, I don't know what it would mean, but the Pasuk says there's no exaggeration. Hoylech v'chazak ma'oid means it was getting more and more powerful to a very big extent. And there's a very interesting Rashi there, which we often tend to read quickly, but if we think about the Rashi, there's a bit of a chiddush here. Rashi says, why did the Pasuk go up? Hoylech v'chozok. It goes from lower to higher. So Rashi said, in Parashas Yisro, k'dei lesaber es ha'ozen, to get the ear used to hearing that noise. That means like this, that if the noise would have started at this, the level of noise, which it reached eventually, they would not be able to cope with it. That's what I should say. You need to get used to the noise in order to up it a bit. Each time that you get used to it, and then eventually upped it a bit. That means if it would have started, it was such a high noise, that the ears would have burst unless they gotten used to it already. Something like that. So there was this noise, this lightning and thunder. And then comes a fire. The person of Pasuk Shemot tells us it was a big fire. The person of Pasuk says more. The person says, "Va'esh oile ad leiv ha-shamayim." There was a huge column of fire going up till Shemayim. There was a huge smoke. The person says the smoke was like a chalk oven, a plaster oven, which Rashi says is a moshel for the biggest smoke-producing oven at that time. But really, it sounds like it was more than that. There was a huge smoke there. And all that happened, the person says, "Mipnei asher yorad olav Hashem." Because Abba Yishev is coming, so there's a thunder, this lightning. Malachim came down from Shemayim. The pasuk says, "Va'asa merilu vayis kodesh." Tens of thousands malachim, but it's much more than that. The Medrash says tens of thousands is on one side. On the other side, we have a pasuk Tehillim: "Rechev elikim ribois ribesaim alfei shinon ribesaim alfei." Thousands of ten thousands of malachim, millions of malachim came down. Then suddenly, another thing happened. The whole world turned black. Midday, it says in the pasuk, there was a choshech. Onon ve'arofel, choshech means darkness. Midday, pitch black. But not only that, there was an onon, there was a thick blackness, and arofel is even thicker. A heavy, thick blackness came down of the world, and suddenly the entire Shemayim, the upper heavens, started coming down, 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 until they reached the mountain. Rashi learns in the pasuk, there's two psukim. One pasuk says the Torah was given in Shemayim, one pasuk says the Torah was given on the earth, and both are true, because the Shemayim came down to the earth, the top of the mountain was sticking into the heavens, and they both reached each other. And suddenly, Nachazach happened, the entire mountain, the entire Har Sinai, started trembling, started shaking, as the pasuk says, Vayechad kol ha'or, and again, the pasuk adds a word, Vayechad kol ha'or ma'oid. It was trembling very, very much. The Ramban says it was like an earthquake, and there's a famous pasuk in Tehillim, which Chazal says refers to that, it says to Mitzrayim, it says, Hehorim tirkedu che'elim, Hehorim rokdu che'elim, the mountains literally jumped like goats, like rams, who keep on jumping. Now one has to visualize this. We haven't even moved away from the psukim yet. We haven't started the chazan yet. We're still in the basic psukim. One has to visualize this and describe this maybe with closed eyes and see and try to visualize this to see the noises and the shofar and the lightning and the thunder and the heavens open up and the sky comes down, the malachim come down, the darkness and the thick darkness and the entire mountain is shaking and you got millions of people. I was in the Tzol once, there was 500,000 people there. You couldn't even see it. It was huge open streets, but entrance just lying one of these. These are sifas. Surely you come out of people. You have millions of people here standing there. They're all standing there by the mountain, and all this is going on as a preparation to Matan Torah. The person Shoftim says, "Gam Shamayim Notfu, the Gam Ovim Notfu Mayim," which Mefarshim explained means there was a rain. It was a heavy rain coming down, and it was the sweat of the heavens. The Mefarshim they say the Shamayim was the Malachim was so trembling because if Klal Yisrael don't accept the Torah, there's no world. So that was all this rain coming down. There's a lot going on. And then, suddenly, everything switches, changes to the opposite extreme. Suddenly, everything went absolutely quiet. Absolutely quiet. The Medrash says, not only suddenly was an absolute quiet, everything in the world stopped producing its noise. And I'm reading out the words of the Medrash in Shemois, Tzipor Netzavah, the birds didn't whisper, the cows didn't move anymore, the Malachim didn't sing Kodesh anymore, the sea stopped its waves, the wind stopped blowing, everything stopped making its natural noise. Hishti HaKodesh Baruch Hu Kol HaOlam Elyonim V'Tachtoinim. Everything went quiet. There was a quietness. As if there's no creation, there's nothing in the world. Absolutely quiet. And there's a reason for that. We'll come back to that soon. What's the idea of that? And at that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu started speaking and saying, Anoichi Hashem Elekecho. One of the basic reasons, explanations, what this quiet symbolizes is that there's nothing to add to Torah. Sometimes when you want to give over something, you have to sell it. You have to sell a product and describe it and show and prove. But Torah has nothing to add. Torah is the beginning and the end and everything in the middle. Torah is life itself. There's no need to add there's no need to add anything. When Torah is given, that alone speaks for itself. There's no need to make any noise about it at all. That alone is everything. There's more explanations why it was quite to come that soon. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu started speaking, then again, amazing things happened. The Pirkei Rav Lezer says when the Rosh Hashem actually started speaking, when the voice came out, suddenly the entire mountain lifted up again, the heavens opened up again, the mountain went into the heaven. The Medrash says the Shemayim and the Oretz, everything was trembling, all the seas escaped, all the seas and the rivers, Bochu, they escaped, all the mountains in the area collapsed, all the trees bent over. The Meisim Sheba Sha'oil, this is all Pirkei Rav Lezer, you can look it up. The Meisim in the Sha'oil, those who are nifter ready woke up, Chayu ve'omdu al ragleyem. All the neshamis were dead, all Kal Yisrael fell on their faces, each of the divas which came out, we'll come to that soon. Now, when Kal Yisrael actually heard the divas, the Gemara and Shabbos, now we come to the Gemara. The Gemara and Shabbos says that each divur came from all sides of the world. The prophet says, Es ha-koilis, there wasn't only one koil, there were many koilis, the koilis came from all four directions. Then the Gemara says, the voice of Hashem went from one side of the world to the other side. Everyone in the world heard it, all the Umasalim heard it, until today most of the Goyim believe in the Seir Sadibus. Also, they all heard it at that time, and they themselves have it with Masara, they believe in that. And the Gemara said it clearly, they all heard it, they ran to their Novi, who was Bilam, they asked him what is this all about, and he answered them. Every Divur HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the Gemara, was simultaneously translated into 70 languages. 70 languages, and all the nations heard it in their language, and that's why they understood what was going on. Every word that Kodesh Baruch Hu says the Gemara Shabbos, the entire world filled up with delicious besomim. And the Gemara says, well, 1 minute, if the world filled up with besomim on the first dibur, what can it fill up more? In the second dibur, says the Gemara, no. After one word, the version blew away all the besomim, and the next word created new besomim. The Stipler says, this is to symbolize and show that there's nothing more sweet, nothing more good than Torah. There's nothing more with the deliciousness, with the goodness like besomim, nothing like Torah as a besomim. Anyone has been to a house of a girdle? Anyone has been to a house of a girdle, Rabbi Yashiv, or the house of the girdle? Any girdle, many of the girdle, any girdle, many of the girdle you see, they don't have much, they don't have anything. I don't know if you would live in a house like they have. But no one can say they're lacking in simcha. No one can say they're lacking in happiness and fulfillment. The prophet says, "B'derech Hashem, lo yachziru chol tov." It doesn't say they have everything. Lo yachziru, they're not lacking anything. They're not lacking anything. The besomim of the Torah gives them everything. Listen, it's a bit complicated. There was both. According to Rashi, there was both. Yeah, okay. Let's get it a bit hard.
Good morning. If the whole world was not some first devil, the Lord says it has come.
It blew away, yeah.
If the first
psalm
is okay, why have to change?
Oh, so the Sabbath says to show each dibur has a psalm. Each dibur, each mitzvah Torah on its own has a tremendous psalm. The Gemara adds that each dibur HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, they got so overwhelmed and so frightened and so shaken up that they literally flew back, says the Gemara, 12 mil, and they died. The neshamas flew out of them, it was too much for them, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to bring down Tal Tchia and revive them, the Malachim helped them walk back. The Medrash says, which is very known, Rashi brings it, all the Cholim became better. All those people who just a few weeks ago came out of Mitzrayim, and there were many of them limping, and all, on one side all the walking sticks suddenly appeared, and on the other side all the glasses appeared, and all the Cholim and all the illnesses and all the pains and aches disappeared. The Medrash says, the Gemara says, that Rashi brings it, not only did they hear the voice of Hashem, they could actually see the voice of Hashem. We don't quite know what it means. Actually, today we can a bit imagine, but I don't know what it means that. Today one can a bit imagine what it means, seeing a voice, seeing sound waves. But okay, then they could see, literally see the voice. There's a lot of explanations in that too. What was the idea of being able to see the voice? Of Chaim Volozhin says, his famous pshat, he says that in this world, there's two things. There's seeing and hearing. Seeing is much more powerful. You want to describe to someone, what does this room look like? So you describe to him on the phone 2 hours what it looks like, and then he might or might not get a picture. But if you bring him here, and after 2 seconds he knows what it looks like. Seeing is much more powerful than hearing. In this world, Gashmias is something we see. We see, we feel, we taste it. That's symbolized, symbolized in seeing. Ruchnias is something we don't see. We hear, we believe, we know, we believe it. But we don't see it. So Ruchni, Schar, Olam Habo, Torah, Mitzvah is all symbolized as hearing. and seeing is much closer to us. That's why we struggle so much. But then, by Matan Torah, they could see the Ruchnir so powerfully. They could see the Torah and the goodness of Torah and the Shechinah and everything else they saw, that what is normally considered hearing, they saw. They saw what Ba'as is hearing. They saw the Ruchnir, because that turned into the real thing by them, and that turned into, forget, the Gashmish took a back seat. The Medrash adds, and not only they saw what you can hear, they heard what you can see. The Medrash adds that, which means that the Gashmish, which for us is so visible and tangible, but them took a back seat. They saw how important Torah is, that the Gashmish went down to a level of hearing. That's what the Medrash is symbolizing with that. There's one story about this. I just saw recently a story. A Maskil once came to Rabbi Tzrichon Aspekter before the war, and he told him, you know, Chalitza, there's one called Chalitza. If a young man is lifted with children, then his wife is called Chalitza. And this Maskil told him, yeah, it's a bit outdated. What's that all about? So Rabbi Tzrichon told him, you're a bit at the wrong, I think you came to the wrong address. You should be going to St. Petersburg now.
To where?
St. Petersburg. Because over there, there's a major asif of doctors. You should be there, you're in the wrong address now. So he told him, what's the connection to the other one? He told him, well, why was this young man lifted? He was not well. He was suddenly lifted. You should go to them. They should try and solve, you know, make sure that he doesn't die. So this fellow laughed at him and said, he's died. Nothing to do about it. That's a fact. Fact of life. What can you do? So he said, well, it's also a fact of life. Torah mitzvah is also a fact of life. It's life. It's life itself. We tend to look at not us. Torah mitzvah takes a bit of a level of hearing because we don't see it, but it's meant to be. The Torah mitzvah is life itself. Is what one sees. Yeah, the Dela. Meanwhile, we have to still the basic description of what went on there. And this is what the Rambam means. If one describes this and visualizes this, one gets a bit more of a feel, one reminds oneself of the tremendous chashivas of Torah, that Torah has the power, Torah changed the whole world, twisted around itself to accept this Torah, the fire, the lighting, and the shaking, and they jumped, and they moved, and they died, and the malachim came down, and everything else around it, and everything changed, and all the illnesses went away, and all the blindness went away, and they saw it, literally they saw the words. This shows us and reminds us the tremendous chashivas of Torah mitzvahs. That's what the Rambam means. If one remembers that and visualizes that and keeps on repeating that, and one realizes that we can connect to that. Every time we do a mitzvah, we connect to that. Or to use our nowadays language, we plug into that. You can plug into that tremendous greatness of Torah mitzvahs. Every time the Avraham says the idea of shaking when one learns or davens, comes from Matan Torah. Matan Torah, the kalos shook, the jump back. From there, became ingrained in the Yiddish and the Shomer that when he connects to Torah mitzvahs, he shakes. Shake a bit. Shalom, whether by learning or by davening. Some didn't shake by davening or by learning. Okay, but that's where it comes from. One can connect to that fire. I heard from a Yid here in Manchester who told me he remembers when Rav Gedalia Rabinovich, came back from Eretz Yisrael. He'd just been Eretz Yisrael, and he went to visit the stifler, and he spoke to him in learning, and he had a few questions he asked him. And the stifler, one of these things was a bit stuck, he wanted a bit of clarification, so they decided to go to the stifler. To the Chazon Ish. So they went, the stifler and Rav Gedalia went together to the Chazon Ish, and the stifler knocked on the door and walked in. He didn't wait for an answer, he was a relative. He walked in, and they both walked in together, and as they walked in, they saw a fire in the room. Rav Gedalia said it over after, so I heard some Yid here who remembers him. Rav Gedalia came back, he was still shaking as he said it over. When he was saying it over, and they saw a fire in the room, the stifler jumped back and they said, let's go back home. There's a fire. Many stories like that, when the Gedolim and the Tzaddikim were learning, was literally a fire, Ruch Nezik, a fire that connected to this fire of Mamad Sinai, which came down again. Now, to go to a bit of a deeper level, the Psukim tell us that the entire Klal Yisrael turned into Nevi'im, B'Shas Matan Torah. The Pasuk says, after Horeisol Adas, you have shown us, Horeisod Re'ir, you have shown us, Ki Hashem, Hu, Hu, Alikim, and Ein Bedvade, Rashi brings, that when Matan Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu opened all the heavens, the Klal Yisrael could see through, this way, that way, and they saw there's nothing else besides the Kodesh Baruch Hu Echad, there's nothing else, they could see that clearly. By Klal Yisrael, another amazing thing happened, which has an effect till today, something which the Gemara calls Poska Zuhamosom. Poska Zuhamosom means that after the Chet Adam Arishin, there was a tumor, a certain impurity which became mixed up in people, which became part of a person. Until today we struggle with that. Until today we have Yetzer pulls us one way, Yetzer pulls us another way, we are pulled in different directions. And the same person can daven well and then do something which doesn't fit with that. And it's not a stira, because we have different things pulling us to different directions. That's all part of the Chet of the Marishan. The Ra became part of the person, but by Matan Torah that all went away. They became absolutely purified, and even though by the Chet Egel became back again, in the Rishonim and Meforshim it's clear, there's Rashi that's in the Gemara, that a bit of a possible is almost a state. We have until today a certain purity, if you look it up, and there's plenty of stories of that, how a person who's connected to Torah mitzvahs has a certain fineness, many stories. I just heard a few days ago another story of a Yidl America, a very wealthy fellow who came to Rav and he told him, I've been seeing recently, I've been learning with people, not such connected people till now, the ones who are connected to Torah, and I've been seeing, you've been learning with them, and I can tell you, I see a difference in them. It was a very, very powerful person, came to Rav in America, and he told me this, I can see they're changing for the better, I also want part of it. And one sees that, you look around, you see it, the behavior of people who are connected to Torah, it's obvious anyone who looks around, is different to those who don't have Torah. That's all part of this purity which Torah gives, and at that time he gave it in a tremendous level, was a tremendous poskez ramosam. You say in Agadah Shem Pesach, ilu kirvonu lefnei ha-sinai, veloi nosan lono es ha-Torah, if you'd have brought us ha-sinai, without giving the Torah, would have also been enough. And the question is, what's the purpose coming to ha-sinai without the Torah? What's that all about? And one of the answers is these points. The poskez ramosam is one of the things that happened by Mamad ha-sinai. And that we have until today, that's why every Yid is naturally pulled to Ruchnis, and he gets certain moments when he wants to pull up to Ruchnis. There are plenty of many stories like that where we see this fineness of people who are connected to Torah mitzvahs. Another thing, I'll tell you one story, one was there isn't much time for this. It was Yid in London, a few years ago, it was Yid in London, a big Osher, who went to Russia. And when he was in Russia, a girl came up to him and she said that she wants to join a seminar in Gateshead. Can he help her? So he said, he told her to come, he'll pay for the ticket. And she said she got on the visa, they might send her away after a while. She said, come first, and when you have trouble, call me, I'll try and help you. So she came, she went to the seminar, the Taki called her to court afterwards, because the visa ran out. And this he sent his lawyer, and there was a prosecutor there, and they started arguing. It didn't look very good, the court case didn't look very good. And eventually the judge asked, what are you here for? And she said, she wants to go to a seminar. She explained a bit what it's all about. And he says, he told him, give her a visa. Give her a visa. And they asked him afterwards what happened. He explained like this. He was in the train not long ago. I don't know the story. He was in the train not long ago. And there were five girls sitting next to him. And he noticed that they were very fine behavior. Not laughing loud, not screaming loud, not doing very fine behavior. And when they went past him, they said, sorry, they were very nice. And he asked them, one of them, as one of them was passing, he asked them, where are you going to? So they said, okay, seminar, what's the seminar? So they explained a bit, and this judge finished off, if a seminar can produce such honorable, refined citizens, then we would like to have more of them. So he offered he granted their visa. This is the Paschal Zohar Moslem, Torah Mitzvah gives that fineness. According to the Zohar Kodesh says that Matan Torah was by far the greatest event of the entire history of the world. It was by far the greatest event of everything else that happened, all these changes. Another thing that happened on Matan Torah, another thing that happened is that from then on, from Matan Torah onwards, every action a Yid does, every action, whether for good or not for good, but let's talk about the good side, has ramifications in Shemaim, has ramifications in this world. All the famous stories, the famous saying of Sol Salamte, that if Yeshiva Boch in Vilna is not learning as well, then a student in Paris doesn't put on tefillin, has a connection. That started in Matan Torah. All these stories of a Yid can do a mitzvah here, and it has an effect far away. We'll never know. Plenty of stories to show that. We'll never know how the Torah, the mitzvahs, but also what we don't see. We just know, we believe it. We don't see it where Torah, a mitzvah, a Yid does here. Any action a Yid does in one place has an effect, creates a malach, which protects the person, which helps the person further. Mitzvah, gereres mitzvah, says the Mishnah. Sheschar mitzvah. The schar of a mitzvah is the mitzvah itself, say the Mefarshim, which means the malach of that mitzvah, which helps the person move on, which protects the person, helps him. Plenty of stories where he did the mitzvah and it was just saved, and it was clear to him that the mitzvah saved him. But it has ramifications further on. Many people say about Sfiras HaOmer now, they say every day, Al-Yidei Ma'ashe Safarti, through my Sfira, you took on Ma'ashe Pogamti, you should be Metakel Ma'ashe Pogamti. Some people say this after Sfiras HaOmer. And I heard once explanations, we wouldn't normally speak so much about Kabbalah de Kenyonim. Why do we say that there? Because before Matan Torah, we want to remind ourselves, you took on ma shepogamti. I can be pogam nesfira, who me? I was pogam nesfira, spheres from the highest things in Kabbalah de terms in the upper heavens. I can be metakin a sphere, and down here? Okay? We can do that, we can affect things far away. So we have this tremendous achaz. This all started by Muhammad Asina. I once thought to myself, maybe that's another explanation why at the time of Matan Torah they could see the words. Royim esanishma. So we've always said explanation of Tam Balazna. Maybe another explanation is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show there's much more to what is really going on than that meets the eye. We don't see a lot of things, but once in history, HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened the eyes and he showed them things you normally can't see. Royin esanishma, to tell them, from now on there's much, much more going on. You won't be able to see it, but it's there. We do a mitzvah, we do action, we do a good deed. It creates a malach which protects us, which protects others. The best chus of Kalos has always been Torah mitzvahs. This started all the Matan Torah. It's a bit like a backwards puppet show. A puppet show, you start at the top and does things below. Here's Faket. We do things down here and it shakes things up there. Another thing that started Matan Torah, we'll finish with that. Another thing that started is the Rechama Kodesh brings the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin tells us a story of Pinchas Ben Yoir was traveling a journey between Shruim, and he came to a big river, and the river, there was no crossing at that time, so he told the river to split open. He spoke to the Malach of the river to split open, the river split open, and he told the river to stay open. The river didn't want to, and he said, if you don't open, I'll dry out. So the river split open, then he told the river to stay open for the Yid behind him, and to stay open for the Goy, which is in behind. I shouldn't say that we don't look after our group, they were all one group, so he stayed open for all three. And the Chaim HaKadosh asked, because Pinchas Ben Yoir could do that on his own, what's the tremendous greatness of Kiryas Yamsuf? And he answered a fascinating test. He says, there's a difference between Kiryas Yamsuf and Pinchas Ben Yoir. The difference is, this is before Matan Torah, this is after Matan Torah. After Matan Torah, it's not a chiddush that the Talmid Chacham at Tzadik could do that. Because from Matan Torah onwards, the Talmid Chachamim, those who are connected to Torah, everyone on a high level is a high way. They have the power, they rule over the Bria. And there has been, the explanation that is simple, since it's Takil Barai Zavar Alma, the Mesh look in the Torah to create the world. So those who have the Torah in them, they rule over the world. Everyone knows, I don't know, but it's a very famous story. I heard it from Rabbi Zriel Rosenbaum, who heard it from Rabbi Chaim Kreisvit, who actually confirmed it with Chaim Kinevsky. The story goes like this. Chaim Kinevsky was writing a sefer, wrote a sefer about locusts, and as he, it's kosher, so he was writing all about it. As he was writing the sefer, a specific locust, which he was very troubled about the details, appeared on his window and stayed there as long as he needed to write it. Then it flew away, but then a few days later, he remembered he had one question. He realized there's one point not clear. The locust came back, and it was there in the window, and Chaim Kreisvit confirmed it with Chaim Kinevsky. He asked him, is it true? Chaim Kinevsky said, no, was it the chiddush b'seyos v'toch gat hazazah? B'seyos v'shah v'toch gat hazazah? So he confirmed it. Plenty of such stories where we see the Gedolim have the power of the world. My own grandfather, my father's father, when he was 59, he got Parkinson's. And I don't know, knew about it yet. It was quite weak, and he was very nervous. He went to the stipler for Brochen. So the stipler, the doctor said, Parkinson's not well, he's ill. And the stipler made his hand like this. He says, mit dem kann man noch leben 20 Jahre. With that, he can live another 20 years. You live another 20 years? Plenty of stories, exactly 20 years. Plenty of stories like that where those who are connected to Torah, the rule of the Bria, the Nisim, the Niflois, and the Yeshuas, which come through Tamid Chachamim, that also is one of the things that started by Torah. One last point. We say in davening, Ato v'chartonu mikol ha'amim. And the question is, which we hinted to before, Ato v'chartonu, the Moshim offered all the nations the choice. He went to all the nations to offer them. With what did he choose us? And the answer is, making this very short, the answer is that he offered them very different to what he offered us. When he offered them, it was the basic Torah mitzvahs. To us, he offered it in a tremendous higher level, a much more powerful level, a level of nevuah, a level of eish, a level of creating malachim and schusim, and creating things in the upper heavens and all around us, things we don't see, but at that time they were roin sanishma, a level of ruling over the bria. All these points was specifically to Kali Soil. And this is what the Rambam maybe means, that if he does mechazik that and reminds himself that, visualizes that, he remembers that the chashiva is the importance, the tremendous value which Torah mitzvah has, which every mitzvah has, we can connect and plug into that tremendous power, that tremendous greatness every time we do a mitzvah. That alone is the biggest chizuk you can get to Lemuna. The Moshe Taki should help, we should be able to serve him properly and internalize these points, the essence of Eid.
Oh, thanks.